Welcome to another episode of Spotlight with Shubham. I'm co-founder of Mastera, an all-in-one platform for coaches and trainers to run and scale their online knowledge business. Today on Spotlight, we have Miriam with us. She is a certified professional organizer, simplicity expert, and money breakthrough business coach. Welcome, Miriam, to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, looking forward to have the conversation with you today. And really know and talk about your background. So with that, why don't you tell us about yourself and how you ended up being a professional organizer and a business coach?
Yeah, so when I became unemployable, I decided to start my own business and thought, what have I always done? And it all came back to organizing. So I started an organizing business. And then several years into it, like many people that go off on their own, I decided it needed to be a business, not just kind of freelance organizing situation. And I realized how many of my clients needed help with their mindset stuff. So I started adding in the coaching piece of it. And the more I got into it, the more I realized I was really excited by entrepreneurs and their mindset. And so my ideal clients tended to be entrepreneurs or professionals that worked from home. So I had to start helping them run their businesses. So organically, I just added one more piece of the puzzle as it went. And now I love the whole process of systems. So talking to other coaches and other solopreneurs that need systems that aren't talked about at that scale kind of became my sweet spot.
So with that, I'm curious to know a little bit more about being sort of an organizer, professional organizer. I'm sure a lot of us have not really heard and sort of explored that idea. So talk to us about it, like what it is and how do you help people with that?
Yeah. So as a professional organizer, I help people declutter and set up systems for running their lives or their businesses. I am certified in that. I was one of the first 250 people in the world certified as an organizer, which means I have a little extra training than maybe some of the online internet organizers. So I can work with the psychology and the mindset behind why you haven't been able to be organized in the past, and find the right fit for each person. So it's not a one size fits all situation. It's how you think about your things and how you use your things that help make it functional for the long term.
Gotcha. And this organization is on a person, I'm assuming it's on a personal level as well as on a business level, right? Like from processes and automation and system standpoint.
Correct. It's always the mindset, the productivity, the workflow, and the physical objects needed to do that.
Got it. So talk to, I'm curious, like if there's an example kind of thing, let's say if I pick my example, I'm a co-founder of this tech startup, Mastera. And if I need help on the organization side, because I do run into that problem, to be honest, that there's so much to do and there are too many things that are going on. I have to work with pretty much everyone in the company, be on top of it, make it happen, and also be out there doing podcasts and be on LinkedIn and things like that. So things do get out of control a lot of times. So curious, like how will someone like me get help and use your help?
Yeah, so it's about your workflows. So we start with your roles and responsibilities in your job and what you need to do those responsibilities. And then we look at the time and where you can fit each of those responsibilities into your day or your week or your year and how to make that as easy as possible. So where to save yourself time by creating routines and habits, and checklists and how to delegate better so that it all works within. I have a framework for like the five essential business systems, just to make sure all the things are dealt with regularly. And it's different for everybody, because some people are very task oriented and they need a checklist and what am I doing next? Other people are very big strategic thinkers and they need a little more space and creative work time. And then there's the people that are in between. And so which aspects of your job and responsibilities can be made very rote and routine so that it becomes habit and you don't really have to think about them or waste a lot of energy, versus what you have to be on for and creative and strategic thinking and how to maximize that time, if that's your kind of way you think.
Got it. And I guess that's where the whole mindset sort of part also comes in, where with the end goal, the mindset needs to be changed, I believe. How does that happen? Like, talk to us about it. Like, how do you work on changing that mindset? Because I can see, like, if someone has been doing something for like 40, 50 years, mm-hmm. or not 40, but like 20, 30 years.
some of us have been doing it for 40 years.
I was going by the age, and then I realized that for first 15, 20 years, we were not doing this thing. So how does that, isn't it difficult and sort of kind of issue when you run into that?
It's a process. And yes, it is very difficult because our brains process information in a certain way. And when you start learning to work with the way your brain actually processes information, it's easier, but it takes practice and persistence and resolve to continue going while you're learning. So there's some things that we can track that make it easier, and there's some ways of approaching it that make it easier. But because we all process slightly differently, it's kind of figuring out where the framework needs to be put and where you need to work on reframing. So on paper, it's very easy. There is a process involved. In practicality, it's hard to make our brains do that. We have to incentivize all that. It's really just brain training. And so I teach people how to do brain training to get the mindset reprogrammed.
That makes sense. And I guess that's where it starts, and it kind of gets into that habit making sort of pattern where it sort of starts to become slowly over time a habit, an intentional habit making pattern, I guess.
And I found that especially with entrepreneurs, you leave a job, and coaches particularly, since we're talking about coaches, they leave whatever it is they were doing when they were working for someone else, and they are taking that skill set out and trying to coach other people on that skill set. But they may not have the experience or understand completely what it takes to be a business runner as well as the technician. So how do you bridge that gap as well? So just because you did it for yourself doesn't always mean it's easy to do for someone else, because they might think differently. And where do you draw the line between what I do as a technician of this modality or this set of thoughts versus how do I transfer those skills to someone else?
Gotcha. And do you also work with people in that middle management or sort of leadership at bigger organizations? Because I can see that they will also need help in this space, or is it mostly focused on entrepreneurs and solopreneurs?
Mostly on entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, although I love doing trainings for companies. I don't like working with individuals within the company as much, because it tends to come from above. And then the people are introduced to me on that "you're doing something wrong, we need to fix you" mindset, instead of "I want to be better at my job and better as a person, and so I want to improve these skills for myself" modality. And I find navigating corporations or companies is just kind of annoying to me sometimes. Like,
right.
It's about quick decision making for me. So if you can't be the one that makes the decision about it, I'm not that interested. Having said that, I make exceptions all the time if someone approaches me just right with something very specific, or they have some sort of disposable funds that they can use for personal development within their role at a company, and then they use it to hire me. But when it's, you know, I want to fix my employees, do this for them, it doesn't tend to work.
Right,
so I will do it for the executives, but typically not the middle and down.
Gotcha. Makes sense. And then just on the coaching style kind of thing, does it change from like person to person slash sort of persona to persona? Like if it's a high energy driven entrepreneur versus more sort of laid back sort of lifestyle sort of business entrepreneur, does it change?
Not exactly. So the framework stays the same. The modules I walk people through stay the same, but the examples I use to demonstrate things, that changes. The anecdotes, it's good to have several different approaches to things. So if something isn't resonating, I can use a different approach until the person gets it. We've all had that thing happen where we've heard something over and over and over and it doesn't quite sit right, or we don't take it in. And then all of a sudden someone says it slightly differently and you're like, oh, I get it now. And so I like having multiple approaches to the issues available.
Gotcha.
But the actual structure stays the same.
Okay. Makes sense. And then, so that was on the sort of organization or professional organizer part. Talk to us about the money breakthrough coaching part as well. And how does that play with the organizing or organizer coaching part of your business?
Yeah. So as I was learning to run my own business, I went through a coaching program with another coach that kind of changed my life. And it was about the money mindset piece. And I didn't think it was going to make that big a difference, but it turns out how we think about money is how we do everything. And here in America, we don't really talk about money in a meaningful way. We talk about how much money we have or don't have. We talk about how much debt we might have, but in vague terms, so no one knows exactly what that means. You know, like it's all very vague. Like I make enough money to live on. Well, what's the number on that? What's this? And we make decisions based on those broader strokes that don't mean anything. And so on a day-to-day basis, we have a bunch of crap we don't need because we spent money on it, and we don't have enough money to do the things we'd really like to do because the things we bought didn't actually change us as people. They just caused us to spend money. So when I realized that, I realized how closely it was connected to the clutter, what people were buying. And I just started using the money mindset piece as a way. So the modality I use is sacred money archetypes, and it's kind of a personality thing. And I started using it with my organizing clients just to have that shorthand for talking to them about their stuff. Mm-hmm. I would know instantly what I could push or not push people to get rid of or to get to purchase to help the whole process. And it was all based on this one modality. So when I decided to add some coaching, that was where I first got certified, was the money thing, so that I could use it with my own clients. And it had worked on me and I love it. And it's made huge difference in all my clients' lives by just understanding how you relate to money.
Gotcha. So it's not a separate thing, that separate type of coaching that you do. It's kind of all sort of mixed in. So if someone is going through that organizing part, then money has to be there because that's part of a big part of the mindset.
Yeah. Although the money mindset breakthrough business coaching stuff, it's adjacent to it. It's from the same place I got trained, but it takes business systems into account, but always there's a mindset component to it.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. And that's a great point that you touched on, just the how people see money. And everyone actually sees money differently. They have different goals. And I've also noticed just by speaking to folks that a lot of times our money mindset and our long-term goals are not aligned. Like you mentioned. Yeah.
Oh, and there's such a disconnect. You know, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be an entrepreneur, and I'm going to make a gazillion dollars, and I'm going to get investments and, you know, all that stuff from the tech world. And as a coach, how does that apply to me? Like, I'm not going to get investors. So what do? I give away free coaching sessions. Is that a good idea? No, you should not give away free coaching sessions. But how do you price and package your services? If you don't have a great relationship with money, you're always going to undervalue yourself, or you're going to assume what your clients can afford.
Right.
And it's none of your business, really, what other people think of you and what their money decisions are has nothing to do with you. And so it can really affect your business if you approach it as people can't afford that, or I couldn't possibly charge that much, or on the alternate side, I can charge a gazillion dollars and I don't actually know what I'm doing.
Right.
How is that? How do you sell that? How do you feel comfortable and in alignment from your own perspective relationship with money to charging what you're worth and getting it, and how to market that? It all plays together.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Cause also just from a spending and goals and then charging, all of these are like so interconnected now when I think about it, talking to you, while my first thought was to put them into different buckets, that okay, this is money part and this is that part,
all
and this is
connected
part. Yeah. That's fascinating. Yeah, absolutely. And so that kind of makes me feel like you're kind of doing a 360 degree coaching, more or less. Like you're kind of going from all the way from mindset to goals, to organizing, automating processes on the business side, and then money side as well. So that's pretty pretty amazing work that you're doing. That's great.
It's always perfect. About connections. I love connections and intersections. So
nice.
Yeah.
With that, I do want to talk about your business part as well. We did touch on a little bit earlier that how you got started as a coach, but I want to dig a little deeper into that, because there are listeners out there who may be wanting to just start their own coaching business. So how did you get your first five clients?
Well, because my coaching grew out of my organizing, I've been doing this for 23 years, so this was before the interwebs made it really easy to find clients, although it's not easy. It's still not easy to do it on the interwebs. Right. I literally wrote a letter on stationery to everyone in my address book, my mom's address book, and my father's address book that I knew, and said, I'm now a professional organizer. Do you have any, if you are trying to get better organized or need to declutter or anything, give me a call. So I sent a handwritten letter to about 150 people. And then I got my first five or six clients, and then I started networking like crazy. So I'm big on networking and PR, so that it doesn't cost a lot to advertise, because I don't spend money on advertising. I tried it in the beginning, and I don't think spending dollars to advertise is necessarily the best way to get coaching clients. It's much more a relationship situation, and you got to build the relationship. So you got to talk to people, whether it's on a platform like a podcast or a TV segment, or getting things in print or online, or a networking event, you have to talk to people.
Got it. And so this networking that you're referring to is more from getting in front of the clients, talking to your prospects and potential clients that can be your clients in the future. So that sort of networking.
Yeah, I really set myself up as an expert early on, because I've been a know-it-all my whole life. I like being an expert. And so I speak wherever I can at groups. And I do interviews whenever I can because it helps me reach a lot of people. I also got really clear on what kind of people I wanted to work with. And so I would just pick up the phone and call them. Old days again. I got my early business start picking up the phone and making phone calls to sell. Nice. You have to be able to sell.
Absolutely.
It's actually not about just wanting to help people. It's actually about sales. All of anyone who's doing coaching, you have to be in sales because that's how you make your money, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Every business, sales is pretty much the key part of pretty much any business, either like coaching business, software, home improvement, or anything. If we're not getting in front of them and not selling ourselves or our value proposition, they're not going to buy. Definitely.
Now, having said that, it's also possible to be a complete introvert, not really liking to talk to people, and still being able to sell. It's a skill, and it's the most portable skill that you will use no matter what you do. And so it's handy to learn about sales, but you don't have to be out up front one-on-one talking all the time to make it work. But understanding the process helps you automate that in various ways on the internet.
That makes sense. How long is your, let's say a client signs up, wants to work with you, generally on an average, how long is the relationship with the client from a coaching standpoint?
3 months to a year. I do offer 1 day VIP day experiences for people that want to jumpstart or just deep insight into one area. And then I have 3 month programs and 6 month programs. I often don't finish in 6 months when the organizing component is added in. So we go a year.
Got it. And that's because a lot of people, like we were talking about earlier, from a mindset standpoint, creating that habit standpoint, it takes time to build that. That's why it can be a year long.
Yes. And because I do the organizing component too, it takes a certain amount of time just to go through the physical stuff while we're working on the mindset and systems stuff. So
got it.
Depends on the volume of stuff you have in your closet or in your desk.
I see. Okay. That makes sense. So I'm curious about then. So because there is a physical component attached to it. So is that still like completely online that you do, or there's something that where you have to visit and work with them?
I can do both. And not everybody needs the organizing component, but it does get the best result if we look at your stuff, even if you feel you're pretty organized. But I can do it virtually or in person. When they're here in New Mexico, I tend to do it in person just because it's faster. Right. But I can walk people through the organizing process virtually as well.
Nice. So if I want to do virtually, then I'm going to pretty much turn on the camera and kind of show you my desk and things like that on the organizing thing, side of things.
Yeah. Although I've been doing it again before Zoom happened, there was barely GoToMeeting and Skype and I can do it on the phone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's a skill to coach without visuals.
Nice. No, absolutely. I can see that. Yeah. That is a completely different ball game and a different type of skill to do that.
Yeah. You hear things differently. You notice different things from your clients. And so it's a fascinating thing. And if you've never done a coaching session without visuals, try it. It's amazing.
Nice. You start to sort of imagine and sort of go through that in the head, I guess. Yeah. That makes it much more interesting. Awesome. So now fast forward, we talked about like how you got your first few clients, and we talked about the sales, the component to that, cold calling, reaching out, networking. Fast forward now, how are you doing your marketing and sales now? Is it still a part of that is cold calling or what channels you use?
Yeah, I don't do as much cold calling. I have a YouTube channel that never really took off, but this year we're kind of revamping and giving some more juice to. It seems to be helping. And interviewing and SEO. So it's been slow, but it's now starting to really work. When people need organizing, they find me, but the coaching aspect is now getting pulled into it as well. So it's
gotcha.
It's kind of, I find that it doesn't matter what you do. The thing is consistent energy towards marketing. And the more things you do with a plan, the better your results. So when people do something once and it doesn't work and they don't return to it, that's when it doesn't work. So right. I'm on TV, I'm on podcasts, I write, I have a blog, I have a YouTube channel, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, LinkedIn, and I talk to people and I respond and all the things. Having said that, I don't have a huge following. I haven't been a Twitter influencer since like year one, when people figured it out. But I make over six figures and it's just me. So how you want to structure your business and what you want to do is part of it. How much hustle do you want? I don't like to work hard. I like to make it easy. Right. So I do the things consistently and regularly, and the clients show up.
No, that's amazing. That's great to know, because, and that's a great advice as well, that keep it consistent. If you're just doing, let's say, one video a month, just keep it that pace. If one video a week is going to kill you, then let's not do it. Yeah. let's just do one a month or one every 2 months, but keep it consistent. I guess that's the key here.
Yeah. I'm really big on leveraging too. So if you're going to record a podcast, make a video so you can post the video snippets on the channels, make it a blog post that's the same theme, so you can take what you learned and turn it into a blog post. And then that can become more social media posts, you know, like wherever you can leverage is a good thing.
That's awesome. Great advice there on the marketing side, and kind of just getting started, reaching out to folks, networking. If someone is trying to scale or start their sort of coaching business journey. With that, any further advice, any other words that you want to share with our listeners today?
I think as entrepreneurs in this day and age, we are just inundated with information constantly, whether it's physical mail, email, stuff you pick up at classes or courses you take, various networking things. We just end up with a lot of information. And to manage that information and make it relevant and helpful to you running your business, it's actually the number one thing people contact me for in the first place, is the paper issue or the information issue. So I do have a free resource for people, the 1 Minute Mail Solution. It is available on my website, moretheorganized.net/1MinuteMail, O-N-E, Minute Mail, M-A-I-L. It's just how to think about your information and structure a workflow around how you process that information so that you can be more successful and less overwhelmed with all the stuff in your way.
Nice. I'm gonna check that out as well. And I encourage everyone to go there and get that freebie over there. Miriam, it was great talking to you. I appreciate you getting on call and really sharing this advice with our listeners. And if someone wants to reach out to you, how and where do they find you?
I'm on all the places, but the easiest way to get to all those places is to check out the website, moretheorganized.net. And there's a contact form there and all the various things I offer and all the different places you can find me.
Perfect. So there you go, everyone. I'll reach out to her and any questions. She has tons of experience in this coaching space, like she's been saying way before things happen. And now she's mastering all the existing channels as well. So kudos to that. And how you've been so successful over the years as well. So with that, thanks again, Maria. It was great talking to you, and good luck with your business. And we'll be in touch. touch.
Thanks.